and that was davening on behalf of a non-Jewish patient, including them in a an Misha Beirach. So I brought a piece from Rav Avadia Yosef in his Yichave Das, where he addresses this question. He says, V'chein b'kodesh chazisiha. He's waxing poetic here. It's a well-known phrase, but it doesn't affect the content of what we're talking about here, so I'm going to skip the imagery. Lahagon Rabbi Yitzchak Atiya b'sefer Rov Dagan. He quotes Rabbi Yitzchak Atiya, who I believe was Moroccan and a relation of several other major Rabbanim. I think he was Moroccan. Maybe he was Syrian. He might be Syrian, actually. Shenishal im mutar lo chosh uli hispalel agoy cholesh yisrapei. He was asked, are you allowed to daven for a non-Jewish patient that he should get better? Veheshiv, and he answered, Sheim hu biyoda'o umakiro shehu mechasidei umos ha'olam v'shomer sheva mitzvot shel b'nei Noach. If you know that this person is observing his obligations, he's a Noachide, he's following the Noachide laws, then it's obvious, he says, very obvious even, that you are allowed to give him a bracha and to daven for him to get better. However, if he doesn't know whether the guy really does observe his Noachide laws, maybe he does steal. Maybe he worships Avodah Zarah. So then what do? Daven that he should come back to the proper path, and then he should be healed. Uchmosha amru bebrachos ma'isa shel Bruria, right? He quotes the story of Bruria, yitamu chatoim velo chotim. Uh-oh, hang on. I got it. He davened that. Sorry. Here we go.
Put your legs.
There we go. We're good. That Bruria, when there were people who were giving her husband, Rabbi Meir, a very hard time, so she davened that they should do tshuva. So that's what you should do in this case. He says, look, you have a Gemara that says that we support the non-Jewish needy people along with the Jewish needy people. We want to build a peaceful community. So too, you daven for them to get better. And you could argue that it's actually a halachic obligation because of shalom. And if in fact you succeed and the person gets better, that's a kiddush Hashem. Look, the Jew davened for me and I got better. Maybe he'll convert to Judaism, and he invokes the story of Naaman, who was healed by Elisha. So, because of this, Yechave Das argues that we should that you absolutely do. Either if you know he observes the Sheva Mitzvos, so then certainly you daven for him. And if you don't know whether he observes the Sheva Mitzvos or not, it's a daven that he should observe the Sheva Mitzvos and get better. That's the statement. Clear? So that was just answering a question that I had been asked. But now we get to the main discussion, which is the discussion of Birkas HaGomel, the bracha that we say when we get out of one of four bad situations. The case of a person who is either chola, a person was ill, a person went out on the road, a person went to sea, or a person was out in the wilderness. Midbar is wilderness. I always translate Midbar as wilderness rather than desert, because that's the literal meaning of the word. But yeah, Midbar is desert. Okay, those are your cases. The acronym is well known. Okay, so the two questions that I was hoping to address, that the Nishmas Avram addresses, are what sort of illness requires making a Birkas HaGomel? And number two, how healthy does a person have to be to say, okay, now I can make a Birkas HaGomel? Is it you have to wait for a full recovery? Do they do it when they get out of the hospital? Like, how exactly does that work? Those are the two questions that the Nishmas Avram addresses, and therefore those are the two questions that we will address. So, In terms of what sort of illness requires Birkas HaGomel, you have to start from the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, it's source base. Arba Tzrichin Lahodos. I'm going to put the link in the chat again for the source sheet. Okay. Arba Tzrichin Lahodos. There are four people who need to thank God. There it is. There's our list. Yordei Hayam, those who go to sea. Hochei Midbaros, people who travel in the Midbar. Misha Yecholav in Isrape, he was ill and got better. Oh, that was the other one I was missing. Misha Yechavush Veso Asurim V'yatza, the person who was in prison and then and got out. And then you get a story. Rabbi Yehuda Cholash V'ispach. Rabbi Yehuda was weak, some kind of an illness, and then he got better. Al L'gabei Rav Chana Bagad Ta'as. So Rav Chana of Baghdad went to him. V'rabanan. Rav Chana Bagda and the Rabbanan went to him. Amrile, and they said to him, Baruch Rachmana D'yahavach Nihalan V'lo Yahavach La'afra. Blessed be God, who restored you to us instead of sending you to the earth. It's a very kind of pleasant thing to say. I mean, it's a little graphic, but boy, isn't it wonderful that Hashem gave you back to us. So Amar Lehu, he said to them, Patartun Yasi Mila Oduye. He said to them, you exempted me from having to make the bracha now because you already thanked God for my recovery. So now I don't need to make the bracha. Yeah. Because we talk about the body going to the earth.
That's the important part.
Well, the important part to them is because you're not going to thank Hashem that his neshama is not in the heavens. You're thanking Hashem that his body isn't in the ground. So, in this, I have maybe a little bit of a hint of when a person makes Birkas HaGomel. Maybe. The opening line that you just said, somebody who was ill and got better, doesn't tell me at all what kind of illness you're talking about. The second line, the story of Rabbi Yehuda, though, indicates that it was some kind of a serious illness. Something where, you know, they said, you know, this could have gone, you know, terribly. So, what do we do? Like, what is the definition, then, of illness? So the Rambam, in Source Gimel, doesn't help you at all. The Rambam writes, Arba Tzrichin Lahodos, there are four people who have to thank, Cholesh and Isrape, the patient who got better, and then the person who got out of jail, and then the person who went down to sea, and the person who traveled on the road. That's it. That's your list. Does not help me. The Hagos Maimonios, though, commenting on the Rambam, gives us two views in the Rishonim. Pirish Rabbeinu Yosef, he quotes Rabbeinu Yosef. I was wondering if this is Rabbi Yosef Tuv Elam, the Balei HaTosfos, but I'm not sure. Can you get rid of the sound? Sure. Yeah, thanks. Pirish Rabbeinu Yosef, Didavka Chola Shanafa LaMishkav, he says specifically a patient who becomes bedridden. Aval Chash Birosho, but a person who gets a headache, Obimeyav, or a stomach ache, and does not fall into bed, ain tzarech levarech. Rabbeinu Yosef says you have to be bedridden in order to warrant this bracha. For those who are familiar with the laws of medical treatment on Shabbos, you may be familiar with the category called chole she'en bo sakana. Chole she'en bo sakana means somebody who is bona fide ill, not just, you know, uncomfortable, but they're actually ill, they're just not in any danger. And that level of illness warrants overriding certain halachos for the sake of their recovery from pain, even though their life is not in danger. So one of the definitions of chol hashem bo sakana is nafala mishkav, that they are bedridden. So that would fit what we're saying over here. The view of Rabbeinu Yosef Tuv Elam is that they have to be bedridden to have such an obligation. Okay, that's one view. But then he quotes you a second view. He says, still in the same in source, Dalid, Amnam ba'aruch, the aruch is Rabbi Nassan Baal ha'aruch, he was Italian, he lived in the 11th century, he's before Rashi, he's one of the very first of the Rishonim, and he writes Berech Arba in the heading Arba in his work, the Aruch, Pirish B'Shem Rav Haigon. He quotes Rav Haigon, Sha'afilu Choshesh Berosho O Bigrono Nahagu Levarech Achashakaru Batora. Even if someone just had a headache or a sore throat, they make the bracha after Kriyas HaTorah, after the Torah reading. Any illness a person has, make a berachas hagomel. I always wonder when I read this, and I saw somebody who made a comment like this when I was preparing this shiur. When we say, Rabbi Yosef says, that only a person who was bedridden has to make the bracha, does that mean that other people are not allowed to, or just not obligated to? Meaning, anytime I feel hakaras hatov, I feel gratitude to Hashem, maybe I should be able. This goes a little bit back to our discussion about the person who wants to say rifo'enu at any time, and whether you can just say rifo'enu. The way that this is framed is very unclear to me about that point. So we have two views. Rabbeinu Yosef, who says only someone who's bedridden, and the Aruch, who says any illness. So let's move ahead now into what we do, lahalacha. So our first stop is the Ramban. Ramban, in his Taras HaAdam, which we've talked about before, a very, very important medical halacha work, says in source Hey, Ula'inyan Birkas HaCholim, as far as the bracha for the patients, Lav davka b'choli sheyesh basakana, they do not have to be dangerously ill. Not specifically an internal wound, which is something that is always considered extremely dangerous by definition. Anybody who had to go to bed and then emerged from bed has to thank God. He's like somebody who was brought up to the gallows to be judged, like they're going to execute him if they find him guilty, and then he needed great agents to argue on his behalf so that he should be saved. Hashem's mercy was his agent that defended him. And he says the same thing is true when it comes to traveling on the road. Anybody who travels any kind of road has to thank God. Granted, Rav Yehuda mentioned specifically in that Gemara about who has to thank God. He mentioned traveling in the Midbar, wilderness / desert. Lishna dekronakat, that's just because we have a pasuk that uses that expression of people who travel in the Midbar. B'chol derech b'mashma, but it means any derech. So the Ramban's position is, travelers means any travelers, and ill people, he says, is going to mean anybody who went to bed and then got better. So you tell me, who is Ramban following? Which is it? Is Ramban saying any illness or only bedridden? Yeah.
Any illness has to be bedridden for a short time.
Yeah, but what about an illness that someone's not bedridden from? They have a headache. And they walk around, and they just have a headache.
Well, if you look at derech one, it seems that it's any derech, so it may be anything.
Right. So one way to read the Ramban is from his comparison to the traveler. He said any travel, and therefore that means that he is siding with the view of the Aruch, which is any illness at all. The other way to read it, though, is his specific case that he gave was nafal amita. He fell into bed. So maybe what that, or Olalamita, actually, not Olalamita was somebody else, was the Abu Dram. But he says, Olalamita, you guy went to bed. So maybe not. Maybe he's actually being strict and saying, like Rabbeinu Yosef, he has to be bedridden to have such an obligation. It's very unclear as to what the Ramban is saying. You could legitimately read him either way. So the Abu Dram is a very important sefer on the Siddur, Arishon also, and he deals with this bracha because it comes up in terms of the Siddur. It's one of the brachas that people say. So he says in source Vav, as far as a patient, Kasav Harav Rabbeinu Yosef, Davka Chola Shanafa Lamita. He says specifically, an ill person who fell into bed, Avalim Chash Berosho Obameav, Einod Sarach Levarech. But if a person has a headache, if a person has a stomach ache, he does not need to make a bracha. That's Rabbeinu Yosef. V'chein kasva tosvos. Aval ba'aruch kasav afilu chash barosho b'mayav tzarech levarech. He says, the aruch says, no, any headache, any stomach ache. V'chein kasav haramban. And he says, the Ramban sides with the aruch. He takes the view that the Ramban is saying any illness, not specifically bedridden. I think the answer is that the Ramban really is with the Aruch. It's just that he assumes that even the Aruch doesn't mean literally any illness. In other words, yes, it's true. His standard is more broad than just being bedridden. But there's still a limit on when somebody can say a bracha on having been ill and being saved. So that's the question.
And Aruch doesn't just say Choshesh Barosha. He says Choshesh Begrono. Grono is...
Well, it's hard. He says Afilu Choshesh. So, yeah. But I am not alone in making this assertion. The Radbaz makes this assertion. If you take a look at source Zion, Rav David ibn Abi Zimra made this point. He's dealing with a case of somebody who was on a ladder, fell off the ladder, and got badly... did not get badly injured. He did not have to go to bed. So take a look at Zion. Sha'alta mimeni yedid nafshi. He says, my friend, my beloved friend, you asked me this question. Odiacha da'ati, you asked me to give you my opinion. B'misha nafam in hasulam. Guy fell off a ladder. V'ya choshesh mitzad ke'ev ha'evarim. And he was in pain. V'lo nafal amishka v'lo chala. But he did not go to bed. He did not get sick. Im chayav levarech ha'gomel olo. Does he have to bench gomel? V'im yesh lachush mishum hotza Hashem shemayim levatala. Is there concern that if he says it unnecessarily, he's saying God's name in vain? Tshuva. Davar ze machlokes poskim. So he brings the machlokes, which we've already done, so I didn't reproduce it on the sheet. He brings the debate between Rabbeinu Yosef and the Aruch. And he says, v'kevin shehu machlokes, since it's a debate, tov hu shalo levarech lahotzi atzmo misafek bracha levatala. Better not to make the bracha, to avoid making a bracha in vain. Granted that the tour wrote, we're going to get to the tour, that in Spain they made the bracha even for an ache. Ein ro'i lismoch al zeh. He says, we don't rely on that. Kevin sheyatzanu misfarad. He says, we don't live in Spain anymore. He lived in Egypt. Where we live now, there is no such established custom. And frankly, I agree with the view that says if you didn't go to bed, you don't make the bracha. And now he says, I'll tell you why I say that. Chada, first of all, Dehavi Milsa Mitzi Asa. What you're talking about with the latter, he says, is an intermediate case. He says, the Ravid said you only make the bracha if a person was actually in danger for their life. Like a person had a very high fever. Or they had some kind of an internal injury. Where we would override Shabbos for them. That's where he said you would do it. So I'm giving you an intermediate path. Not so limited as only if it was life and death, and not so broad as any time a person has an ache. I'm giving you something as an intermediate path. That appeals to me. That's number one. He's not saying that the latter was the intermediate case. Sorry. He's saying my policy of you have to be in bedridden is an intermediate policy. Visu and further. Dinilmod me'inyan Shabbos. He says, look at the laws of Shabbos. The rule is, if somebody is ill, but not dangerously so, their life is not in danger, they can tell a non-Jew to do things for them that a Jew can't do. But if a person just has an ache, they don't let you ask a non-Jew to do things for you, even things that are only rabbinically prohibited on Shabbos. That indicates to me that being in pain, you know, having an ache, doesn't make a person sick. And we said here, it has to be a chola. That's not called a chola. He says a person who has a mechush, a person who has an ache, is not called a chola. That's his second argument. And then his third argument. Even within the view of the Yerushalmi, when it comes to the traveler, it says all roads are considered dangerous. And some took that and extrapolated from there, like the Ramban did, regarding the bracha of thanks, not only for Tfilas HaDerech, but also for Birkas HaGomel. and applying it beyond, even in our case, lo kasha, that's not a problem. Ela adraba, ika mina siyata ledidan. He says that actually proves our point. Why? Davka kol hadrachim becheska sakana amru velo kol hacholim. They said all roads are dangerous. Not all illnesses are dangerous. So therefore, you don't have to do it. So he brings these three arguments to suggest you have to be somewhat sick, not life in danger, but you have to be somewhat sick in order for this to be, in order for Birkas HaGomel to be justified. First of all, because he likes it as an intermediate path, which seems to have value to him, just generally speaking. Second, because regarding Shabbos, we don't say that everybody who has an ache is considered sick. And third, because they said regarding roads that all roads are dangerous, they didn't make any such statement regarding illness. So that teaches me that we don't believe that regarding illness. Ulefichach, and therefore he says, Hanachon hu shim nafal mishkav machmas hanafila tzarech levarech. He says, if the person who fell off the ladder, as a result of that, fell to bed, so he has to make a bracha. Vimlo nafal mishkav, but if he didn't have to go to bed, but it's dangerous, like we're amazed, like why isn't this guy bedridden? In fact, then tzarech levarech sha'asalines. Then you make a bracha on having a miracle happen, the fact that you actually survived this. Veroani, you know what I see? He says b'chayotze bazet, in cases like this, sheyvarech below hazkaras shem umal. Say the bracha, but don't say God's name. Baruch HaGomel Chayvim Tavo Shek Malani Kol Tov, without throwing in Hashem's name. He says that's a simple way for you to get to express your gratitude without fear of problems. So the next line continues to say, Dehaika Mande Mefarish Tachala Brachos Kayotze Bahem Below Shem Umalchus. There is a view in the Gemara that all of these brachos that are made for different experiences never involve Hashem's name. It's just that you express your gratitude, your appreciation. That's all it is. It's never meant to have Hashem's name. So if you don't know whether you're supposed to make the bracha or not, so go along with that view. At least within his view, you were Yotze. He says, that's what I think is right, and that's what I've written. So that is my support in saying that even the position that says do it for anything, the position of the Aruch, still probably has some kind of a minimum standard. We just don't know what that standard actually is. Granted, Rabbaz actually thinks it's not. Rabbaz thinks that he's the intermediate when the Aruch is not. The Tur quotes the Ravid to agree with Rabbeinu Yosef. We already saw it referenced in the Radbaz. Take a look at Source Ches. He says, "V'chein le'inyan chola, regarding a patient, kasav harav Rabbeinu Yosef, davka chola shenafal lamita, specifically somebody who was bedridden, avo chash barosho b'meyav einu tzarech levarech, headache, stomach ache, nah, no bracha. V'chein kasav harayvid, and so wrote the rayvid, davka b'makos shalchalal sheyesh bo sakana. You only do it with like an internal injury for which there's danger." Aval haRambam zal, but the Rambam we read, kasav de b'chol derech b'chol choli tzarech lahodos. He just said any ill person. He didn't give you any details. De garsina biyushalmi kol adrachem b'cheska sakanahem, and then in parentheses kol acholim b'cheska sakanahem. Because after all, the Yerushalmi says all roads are considered dangerous. They have here in parentheses and all ill people are assumed to be dangerous, but that's not in the Yerushalmi. And that's the aruch, he says, even a headache, you do it. And as we saw, he says that that's what they do in Spain. And again, the Radbaz said, but we're not in Spain. But the Tur quotes the Ravid as agreeing with Rabbeinu Yosef to limit it. But then he takes the Rambam, saying, no, it's all illnesses. Now, when we read the Rambam, we didn't really get an indication. Right, the Rambam was not so specific. So the truth is, the Prisha, commenting on the Tur, says it's a typo. It should say Ramban, which makes a lot more sense, because that was what the Ramban, the whole thing, linking it to the roads and all of that, that was what we saw in the Ramban, in Taras Adam, in Source Hay. Yeah. So that actually, you know, makes sense. But either way, when we look at the Rishonim, you have Ramban, who maybe is saying the it's only if they went to bed, or as the Avodah Zarah reads it, he's actually siding with the Aruch and he's being expansive about it. The Torah quotes the Ravid as wanting to limit it, but quotes also the Ramban saying that it's all illnesses. He's taking the view that that's Ramban's position, like the traveler. Yeah.
It sounds like a minimal question, but at what point did that typo take place? Because if it took place in the other, when you say typo, you mean in writing the...
Yeah.
The
no, question. It wasn't typed, no.
At what point did somebody write it wrong? Do we know where the error
came? We do not. The Prisha is living in the end of the 18th century, I believe, and he is the one who is alleging the typo. But the text that he's talking about, the Tur, has been around, you know, by his day. The Tur is the end of the 14th century, middle to the end of the 14th century. So latter half, call it, of the 14th century. So it's been around for 400 years before you get to him.
So the error happened somewhere before that?
Yes, somewhere in there. But it's not a surprising error for two reasons. Number one, Ramban, right? It's just the mem and nun switch. Phonetically, you know, it can be confusing. And second, because you could say that maybe it's the Rambam, because the Rambam didn't give me any information. The Rambam just said, ill people. So if you're quoting somebody who says, any ill person, well, maybe that could be the Rambam. It's much better as the Ramban, but you could see why that mistake would have come into play. So what do we do? Well, the Tur said, practice in Sfarad is you make the bracha for any circumstance. The Shulchan Aruch, in source number Tess, brings you both views. Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber says, B'chol choli tzarech levarech. You do it for any illness. Afilu enu choli shel sakana v'lo maka shel cholal. Even if there's no danger, it's not an internal wound. Ela kol she'olo l'mita v'yarad. But anyone who went to bed and got out, notice he also gives you the bed standard after he said any illness. It's like the guy who was brought up to where they're going to judge him and execute him. Lidon. He adds a note. It doesn't matter whether this is an illness that comes back periodically or whether this is just, you know, happens out of nowhere with no expectation and no system to it. So the Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, says any illness, although he also mentions the bed thing. The Rama, on the other hand, Haga, Yesh Omrim De'enu Mavarech Rak Acholi Sheyesh Bo Sakana. Some say no, you only make the bracha for an illness that involves danger. Taking the view of Rabbeinu Yosef, Kigon Makash Achala, like the internal injury. And in parentheses, they have that note referencing Rabbeinu Yosef and saying, "V'chein noagin ba'ashkenaz." That's what we do in Ashkenaz. So the Sfaradim do what they do. We do what we do. The Mishneh Berurah, we haven't gotten there yet, but the Mishneh Berurah takes us towards what we do, and he says, "Kol she'olo l'mita." If someone went to bed, "Aval imlo olo l'mita klal." If the guy didn't have to go to bed at all. All he has is an ache of some kind in his head or his throat. Even within the Shulchan Aruch, even within the Mechaber, he would not make the bracha. So the Mishneh Berurah, by dint of the comment that he's making on the Mechaber, seems to be indicating to me something inclining towards taking that view of being more broad. The person does not need to be in a life and death situation. He's just capping it and saying, but there has to be some real illness. That's the Mishneh Berurah. The Aruch HaShulchan, I didn't bring it here, but the Aruch HaShulchan says we follow the more restrictive view of the Rama. And I think that's what I've seen people do. In practice, I've seen that people tend to make a gomel when they feel like they were in a life-threatening situation. People don't make a person had, the flu, You know, and that's about somebody who, you know, is frail or whatever, said the flu was life-threatening. But, you know, person in standard health. So they had the flu, it knocked them out for a week. They came back to shul. I haven't seen them make a gomel after the flu. I have not seen that practice.
So I have a question. In the days of the Mefarshim, who's assessing the illness, the patient or the doctor?
The patient. Yeah, no, the answer is the patient.
How do they know if their life is in danger? Just got to say, if they're really sick or not, they're so sick.
So generally, we err on the side of caution on all matters about life being in danger. The point that you're making is an important point. My friend, Rabbi Jonathan Ziering, who was with me in Toronto, So he likes to point out the fact that Judaism expects the individual to handle their halachic life. The rabbi is there to answer questions of psak or to provide, information. But fundamentally, it puts a lot on your shoulders to say, let's forget this case of Hagomel. Somebody's not feeling well on Shabbos and they want to know, do I take medicine or do I not take medicine? They're the ones who have to assess, are you at that stage of Chol HaShem Bo Sakana? Are you bedridden? Is your whole body in pain? Like, these are standards that the individual is meant to apply. You can go to a rabbi for help, but that's not the way the system is designed. The system is designed for you to deal with the uncertainty. Yeah.
In those days, they live in small towns and villages.
So shtetl will be an anachronism. These were farmers. These were not the...
The reason why I bring it up is that if they lived in that kind of community, then parents, grandparents, great-grandparents, and so on and so forth, for a number of generations, all lived and died in that area. So people had a little experience as to if... You remember Uncle whomever, Shlomo, came down with this and he didn't make it. So, I'm just saying that
could
be their family medicine.
Right. So, the idea of multiple generations living in the same place did exist at times in Jewish history between periods of turbulence. So, we would be in Germany for a century and then something would happen. And then we would, scatter to Poland or scatter to Amsterdam or scatter to, wherever.
Aleppo was 1,000 years roughly. Baghdad was 1,000 years roughly.
So in the Sephardic world, you had more stability than you had in the Ashkenazi world. That is true. Not 1,000 in Baghdad, no. But you had more stability in the Sephardic world than you had in the Ashkenazi world. That's correct. Okay. So where this leaves us, my sense of things, is the more restrictive view. That it's more like the person had to be in danger tends to be what people do. More like what the Rama effectively says here. The Nishmas Avram asks a question about surgical procedures. That's where he comes in. Is it, what's the standard for somebody who needs to make a gomel after surgery? So if you look in your Nishmas Avram, he says, this is Reish Yudtes Beis. Chole, shamati mehagon or Shlomo Zalman Orbach, shegam chole haover tzintur halev, vaafilu lo kol peula acheres kigon shimush bebalon v'chulei, chayev levarech hagomel acherechein. Shlomo Zalman said that that a patient who has a stent put in, even without any other thing like use of a balloon or whatever it is, just a basic insertion of a stent, has to make a gomel. That's what Shlomo Zalman. V'ulam. But now, Rabbi Dr. Abraham says, commenting on that, however, kevan shelafidaz harofim hasikun hukatan me'od, since the doctors say there isn't much danger in a stent, yesh la'ayin ma b'diyuk ha'gvul, masai levarech berkas ha'gomel, masai ein tzorech. He says you have to really examine where is the boundary. People tend to get a lot more concerned with surgery than they do with just, being sick overall. Anytime you mention surgery, now I'm scared. But that's more psychology than it is level of risk. It's true, they always tell you, and the medical professionals, will testify to it, that all surgery involves risk. There's always risk of infection. Person goes into the hospital, there are germs around. Yeah, all true. And I'm certainly not somebody who can assess the relationship between that and a person who's at home in bed with the flu. But that's where Rabbi Dr. Abraham says, you know, I'm not really sure. My Rebbe Rav Shlomo Zalman said this, but I'm not so sure, he says. Va'omer li hagon Rav Azriel Auerbach, shechamiv hagon Rav Yosef Shalom al Yashiv Zatzal Posek, she'ein levarech b'chol nituach, ela rak b'nituach tachas hardama klalit. He quotes Rabbi Yashiv saying, general anesthesia. General anesthesia is what does it. If it's local anesthesia, there's no reason to make a gomel. General anesthesia, you do it. However, Rabbi Dr. Abraham is not comfortable with that either. But yesh la'ayin, it's a bit tzarech la'ayin, he says, you have to examine that. Ki halo anu mivatzim harbe pi'ulot misukanot. He says, we do a lot of dangerous procedures, kigon biopsia me'evarim pnimim, like, he says, taking a biopsy from internal organs, b'hardama mekomit bilvad, with local anesthesia. He says, I don't think the general versus local is actually valid as your sole test. You know, it could be that all general anesthesia is considered dangerous. You could say that. I mean, I don't know, like, yeah, a person gets a colonoscopy, you know, they tend to be under general anesthesia. Is it because the anesthesia is a risk, or is it because the anesthesia is a sign that the procedure that they're undergoing is risky? I don't know. Yeah, right, go ahead.
Some of the procedures you could do spine local, or you could do general.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably the procedure that's
local.
I mean, he seems to think that it's about the procedure.
One in 10,000
for general
anesthesia.
But when what is included in reaction is that's all reactions, including things.
No, I think it's a reaction.
Oh, really?
One in 10,000.
Wow.
So do you
I don't like that number.
No.
Somebody in this neighborhood died. She didn't come out of the procedure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have the one in 10,000.
No, I mean.
Like, so do you look at the email?
What?
The procedure, the language that he's using here in the Nishmas Avram makes it sound like it's not about the anesthesia, it's about the anesthesia being an indication of the seriousness of the procedure.
John Rivers?
Yeah.
The problem with that, though, is I could do the same kidney stone procedure under general, and I could do it in Israel, they do the same kidney stones under spinal.
Mm-hmm.
Not always that the anesthesia relates how dangerous the procedure is.
Right.
Well, anesthesia could.
I definitely hear you, but he's not sure. I mean, he's really not sure. This
well,
is hard.
Maybe general anesthesia puts you in a level cane mace.
But that's the thing. He's not doing that.
He's not doing that.
That's not the way he's reading it. No. I want to go further because I want to get to the last point. And again, like I said in the beginning. It's next week is the Zoom shiur and not this one, and then after that we're off until after Pesach. So I want
to
make sure we finish the topic.
Do that regular class, 1 hour.
Sorry.
Are we able to do that shiur?
Oh no, that's an hour and a half. That's an hour and a half. Yeah. Okay. So the other question we said is, at what point in the recovery process does somebody say a gomel? So that also seems to be a machlokas rishonim. Sefer Eliyahu Rabba, which is a commentary to the Levush. Says, quoting Marash Lublin, well, take a look in two bays. Umatzasi Katsuv, he quotes the idea of the Marash Lublin as recorded in the Ateres Zakenim. She'ein levarech ad sheyetze mehatzara legamri. You don't make the bracha until you are entirely out of danger. Dilakach lo nemra ki tov basheni shlo nigmar melechas hamayim. He references the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that Hashem does not say ki tov on the second day of creation because he wasn't done with creating the water. He still had to do what he was going to do on day three. So therefore, he doesn't say ki tov. I'm not done yet. It's not good yet. Hareisha lashon tov more al tova shenigbar b'tuva uvimloa. When you say something is tov, that means that it is complete. And you make the bracha, shegmolani, tov, or kol tov, depending on what edition you use. So you can't say, Hashem gave me tov, until it's complete. Ad she'bechola, ad she'elech al burio. The patient has to be entirely back to normal, entirely recovered. That's one view. The Rashba, on the other hand, disagrees. He is talking about a case of an illness that comes periodically. We saw this referenced earlier, But this is the Rashba, who's the origin of it, in Source Yud Gimel. Sha'alta od, he says, you asked me the following question. Cholesh shechayev levarech, kamahu choshesh ad sheitzarech levarech. A patient who needs to make the bracha, so how exactly, you know, at what point does he now need to make the bracha? How much pain does it have to, has to be either gone, I guess, you know, to make the bracha. Actually, no, sorry. The first question is the one we were dealing with before. The question of how much pain does he have to be in to make the bracha. And what if he has a chronic illness? He gets it from time to time. That's not really the definition of chronic, but you know what he means. A periodic illness. And it causes him to be bedridden. Calls man hemshech hachashash. Im chayav levarich im lav. Does he make the bracha or not? Tshuva. Kach nirin nadvarim. Shekol chole she'ola lemita machmas oso choli kesheome tzarech levarich. If he goes to bed from it, he needs to make a bracha. Shekol she'ola lemita ka'ola legardum lidon. Right, like we brought before. Going to, if he's bedridden, it's like he's been in, being judged for death. She'om lo have raya v'hipater. They tell him you have to bring proof that you should be get off, and then he'll get off. Vein hefresh bein sheyesh lamechash kavua lavo mizman lizman bein sheino kavua. It has no difference whether it's something that happens from time to time or not. The other rabba, just the opposite, kol shu kavua hu yoser chazak. He says if it's something that comes back, then that's stronger and more reason to make a gomel. And even though he had a miracle many times and he was saved from this illness many times, that doesn't mean that it's not a serious illness. That just means he had a miracle multiple times. And you don't always get miracles, so don't take it for granted. So the Rashba says that if a person has an illness that, let's say, he suffers from every 4 months, making that up, but he suffers from every 4 months, then each time, even though he's not fully cured, it's going to come back, he still makes a brand new bracha. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yoni Rosenzweig, in his Nafshi B'Sheilati, page 90, quotes an approach that harmonizes the views, saying the Rashba is talking about specifically if you're entirely healed in between. When it comes back, it really is brand new. Okay. When you move to the Achronim, the later authorities, there were those who said, a person says Hagomel even without being fully healed. There is a letter by Rabbi Akiva Eger that he wrote to his son-in-law, the Chasam Sofer, in Soros Yadalid, where he asks the Chasam Sofer to daven for him. I'm speculating, and it's pure speculation, that the disease he's describing here was cholera, just because we know that Rabbi Akiva Eger lived through cholera epidemics. He has famous material on that. But look what he describes here in Yadalid. Kodem or Hayom, before sunrise, nafalti b'choli shilshul. He says, I fell to the illness of shilshul, some form of bowel issue, diarrhea. Sheisi shofech meshach revia shav, I was pouring out within 15 minutes. V'nechlashti me'od, I became very weak. V'utzrachti lachzor l'mitasi, I had to go back to bed. V'tekev hischila chazela hagis b'hashmas kol me'od b'groni. And my chest was having trouble, and I had this terrible sound in my throat. V'haya gesisa gemura. He says it was like being a goses. He was dying. He thought he was going to die. U'tfilos u'tzakos rabim u'pudyonos niskablu l'maram u'pida'unimim maves. The prayers and the cries and the redemptions were accepted in Shamayim, and they saved me from death. V'todah l'kel, thank God, yatzasi me'asakana, I emerged from the danger, u'beirachti b'shabbos kodesh ha'avar birkas ha'gomel, and I benched gomel last Shabbos. And then he says, v'adayin chalush ani ma'od, I'm still very weak, v'yefshir li lazuz mideles besi, I can't leave my house. Avakesh me'od mikvodchem lahazkireni b'tfilaschem hazaka, and he asks his son-in-law, the Chasam Sofer, please mention me in your davening. So he asks, you know, his son-in-law to daven for him, so that shows somebody who is making a gomel when he certainly does not think he's better. He's still feeling ill.
He's saying weak. The ill part is past. He's weak.
So that's part of the question of how you define illness. But he certainly considers himself to be within the throes of illness. I think that's a fair statement. In Tesvav, Rav Wozner, the Shevet Halevi, follows that approach. He says, Ulididi Pashut, it's obvious to me. If he's left the immediate danger, he got out of the bed, he went outside, meaning he is no longer in that original danger. He needs some treatment for whatever mark the illness made on him. Sometimes, as is known, that can last a long time. He should make a gomel fully. Because right now he experienced a miracle from Hashem. And then he gives the Rashba as a basis. That's one school of thought. However, Rabbi Rosenzweig, in his Nafshi B'Sheilati, he has a lot of stuff there on Gomel. For those who don't know the Sefer, this is a Sefer that deals with mental illness issues. And so he's interested in asking the question of Gomel for people recovering from mental illness, which is a fascinating and difficult issue on various levels. But he brings a lot of good material on this topic overall. And he brings recent authorities who say, no, you don't make a gomel until somebody is fully healed. He quotes Rav Eliashiv, who says Rabbi Akiva Eiger only did this as his own thing. It was not meant as a psak for what other people ought to do. I didn't see that Rav Eliashiv inside. It's Shiurei Rav Eliashiv. I have Hagos Rav Eliashiv. I don't have Shiurei Rav Eliashiv. I didn't get to see it inside. But he also quotes you the Kleisenberger, the Divrei Yatziv, who says, not until one is fully healed. If you take a look at source Tez Zayin, Val Devar She'elascha Masai Levarech, regarding your question of when to make the bracha. And he quotes you, first of all, the Ateres Zekenim, which was referenced earlier in the Eliyahu Rava. The Ateres Zekenim said, don't make the bracha until you're fully healed. He first said, a person who was in danger from anything, only when he gets fully out of danger. And the patient, when the patient is fully healthy. Rabba Sham, he quotes the Eliyahu Rabba, which we just quoted. Ubisidr Hatanya say de Berchos Hananin, She'ein Levarech Ad Shiachzer Leburyo Legamri, Ayin Sham, Vechein Be'eshel Avram, of Avram Davin Mibuchach, Kasa Besoch Dvar, She'ein Mevarchan Ad Shav Leburyo, Be'esanu Legamri, Ubahadura Tinyan Alav Hechriya Bazeh. It's interesting. He says the first edition of the Eshel Avram, Avram Davin Mibuchach, said you have to be fully healed. His second edition does not come to a conclusion. Interesting. And he says to see the David, and he's got many different authorities he is going to quote on this issue. And then he says in the second paragraph, "Vishamati mikvod kacho Adoni Avi Mori Verabi Zrusa Yogin Aleinu Shekach Hayamore." I think that should be a base, probably. But I'm not sure. The Zion that's there in the next thing, I don't know. It's something Kila Kedosha Mitzans, I think. I'm not sure who he's. Okay. Oh, no. Sorry. Shkach HaYamora Zikno HaKadosh Mitzans. That's what it is. That's what the acronym is. His grandfather, the Sanzer, used to say, Lahamtin Ad Sheyavri Ligamri Mimachaloso, to wait until fully recovered. Not feeling any weakness from this illness. To make the bracha only when he is fully restored, as he was before he became sick. He said that his grandfather once made a gomel and no one could remember that he had been ill before. People had forgotten. It was already so long that had elapsed, but that was when he felt better. And he says, that's what it sounds like from the poskim that I mentioned. The case that Divrei Yatziv was dealing with was a jaundice case that he was asked about. So the Nishmas Avram deals with this. Let's go back into the Nishmas Avram now. Sivkat on Gimel. When it says Vinisrape, one gets better. So the Nishmas Avram writes, Vaholech Kvar al Buryo. When the person is already walking properly, he's back to himself. Kosei b'sefer piskei tshuva. He quotes the sefer piskei tshuva saying, "Me'ikar adin, letter of the law, hasvara nosenes lomar, shekevan shenir pa mimachal aso umishalech b'chutz ke'achad ha'adam." That once he is healed of his illness and he's walking around outside like everybody. And the doctors say he's not in danger anymore. Even though there is some mark on him still from the illness, not that he's in any danger, needing care or needing surgery, he just, he's going to be showing the effects for a little while. Mevarech haGomel. At that point, he could already bench Gomel. Ve'ein tzarech lahamtin ad shiavar kol rosha me'amachla shekayadua lefamim nimshach zman rab. He does not need to wait for all impact of the illness to be gone. He says that can take a very long time. So the Piskei Tshuva thinks a person makes the bracha once he's out of danger. That's the out of danger, recovered from the illness, and just okay, but. He's going to have, physical therapy because he was bedridden for a period of time or whatever it is.
What's his examples in the next sentence?
Yes. Ukigon, for example. Misha nishtatek peleg gufo. He says a person had a stroke in part of his body. O afilu shituk chalki be'ever misuyam shebeguf, or a partial paralysis of a particular part of the body. Ketotza'a mima'oram mochi. As the consequence of some kind of a mental event. So once he has already left the illness, then he can make a gomel. Once he's no longer in danger, even though he still has some degree of paralysis and he still needs to deal with physical therapy to try to restore function, he's good with making the gomel at this stage already. Now, he references in his footnote a tshuva of Rotzvi Pesach Frank. I didn't bring it because I thought we were not going to be able to get to it. And like I said, I wanted to finish things this week. But Rotzvi Pesach Frank has an interesting distinction between somebody who becomes paralyzed because of a circulatory event versus somebody becomes paralyzed because of an external event, like through cold. Is a case that he through cold exposure to cold
hypothermia.
Yeah, so he wants to argue that there's no gomel for a person who has who loses function or whatever because of hypothermia. That there's no gomel for that. That's not an illness. It was something else.
The fall for that. That's not able to see that.
But the result is.
Yeah, I don't know. We'd really have to read the tshuva, which I didn't bring, so we're not going to. But Bobby said, we talked about making a goma for falling off a ladder. That's also not.
You have a Guillain Barre, okay? Yeah. Guillain Barre gets 75% better. Bends his goma. He still can walk now. He can walk now with a walker. Before that, he was totally paraplegic, quadriplegic. Does that person bench gomel?
So I think that's exactly what they're debating, right? I think that's the machlokas.
Mm-hmm. And in that case, you wouldn't do the blessing. You'd say, "Thanks for getting me to this point, and keep up the good work, so that I can bench the gomel."
Maybe. Yeah, it's very unclear. It's really very unclear. I mean. One of the points that is raised, I've seen discussed in the mental health discussion, is the importance for the patient of being able to bench gomel. Hmm. For them to be able to feel like they're no longer where they were, in and of itself can be therapeutically important. So that's that's more complicated.
Well, in a psychiatric situation, they might cycle.
Right, they may cycle. Also, they may be in a period where their medication is being adjusted, and for a while they're fine, and then they're not fine, and it needs to, it's a process. It's not a simple thing, this issue. I did have a question about what we wanted to do after Pesach, which I'm going to throw out here. There are two different ways we can go.